Well, in just 3 days, we will gather in this very room and sing Silent Night. In just 3 days, people all over the world will see the light of the Christ candle break through the darkness of winter. In just 3 days, bells will ring, choirs will sing, and we will once again find our hopes and our fears met in Christmas night. I love that "met" is the word that speaks about how our hopes and fears will be encountered. They're met in thee tonight, the song says. It's such a relational word. You'll notice they're not assessed or observed. They aren't judged or appraised. They aren't subdued or squelched. Our hopes and our fears are met. And not just our personal hopes and fears, but the hopes and the fears of all the years. What a magnitude to consider. The hopes and fears of all the years. I mean, just our own personal hopes and fears can be quite expansive. The hopes and fears of just today can be quite expansive. But the hopes and fears of all the years are met once again, not in a stable far away, not in a little town, but met in our lives. And as we've been pondering this together these last few weeks, I've begun to wonder if we don't have hopes and fears about our hopes and fears being met. Because that relationship, that meeting, requires us to be present. Or to say it another way, having our hopes and fears met on Christmas requires us to present ourselves. This is actually the biggest risk of asking us to consider this Advent theme, the hopes and fears of all the years. Because to consider our hopes and our fears, to bring Christmas into our lives, is to make it personal. And that can be tough. But that is what Christmas is about. It's about something personal because it's about life and relationship. And that's why we use Advent to get ready for it. We don't just blindly jump into it. We take some time to build relationship. You see, Advent is our time to prepare ourselves to meet Christ anew. And we prepare ourselves by reflecting on all that Christ is and all that Christ brings. God's hope, God's peace, God's love, God's joy. In these last few weeks, we've considered each of these ideas, these qualities, these parts of what God invites us to meet in Jesus. This is what we consider. You see, we've considered hope. We considered how the vulnerabilities we carry as people do not prevent us from receiving the gifts of Christmas. Instead, those vulnerabilities make us all the more ready for it. We meditated on peace and how we need not live in fear, for fear is what keeps us from peace. Instead, we might come to know that God is with us while we wait for the reality of peace. Last week we celebrated love and were reminded that God's love has arrived into the world in surprising ways before, that God has done it before and God will do it again and again. And again. And after considering hope and meditating on peace and celebrating love, we now find ourselves this day discovering joy. For joy has been present all the way through. Hope, peace, and love are reasons to be joyful. But today we discover joy in and of itself for reasons all its own. Now, last week, our children, now, and by the way, for those of you that don't know this, I use the phrase our children, not speaking of anyone biologically related to me or you. Our children is any child who calls this place home, because we are entrusted to care for each and every child in this place. So last week, our children did the Christmas pageant. And I was so grateful. I mean, we almost ran out of chairs downstairs. It was fantastic. Last week, they shared that Christmas pageant with us, and if you weren't there and you want to recap some highlights, Mary was so taken aback, she showed us why the angels had to say, "Do not be afraid." It took 5 angels to wake Joseph up from his dream. King Herod's death scene should be nominated for an Oscar and was only paralleled by the angry gaze he gave. It was great. Oh, and the multitude of the heavenly host included a clownfish. It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. It was everything a Christmas pageant should be, because our kids made it their own. And one of the reasons it was so perfect is that their script came straight from our scripture. Mr. Brandon, in his work in preparation, there are catalogs of little pageant plays we can do and little gimmicky shticks we can use to help. Some of them are really fun and cute. But Mr. Brandon was so intentional this year in deciding that we didn't need anything other than the Christmas story. The Christmas story as it's told in our scriptures. And I appreciate that. You see, amidst the plethora of competing narratives every Christmas, and there are so many stories being told every Christmas. There's consumering stories, there's political stories, secular stories, emotional stories, dramatic stories, all of it. We hear them everywhere. We hear the songs, we see the commercials, we experience the tensions. Amidst the plethora of competing narratives, it is so important for us to hear and listen to our story. Well, it's God's story, really. But it's God's story for us. It's God's story with us. And it's a story we are invited to know and to claim. You know, it amazes me how distant and lost the Christmas story can be. And I actually mean this in a couple of ways, both for churchy folks and non-churchy folks alike. I would venture, when it comes to non-churchy folks, if we did a random on-the-street interview series of non-churchy people, I'm going to venture that the majority of those folks could name the 12 days of Christmas and all 8 of Santa's reindeer, 9 if we count Rudolph, with no hesitation. But if we ask them the specifics of the Christmas story, I venture the broad strokes would be there. Mary and Joseph, Jesus, and I think there was a donkey. Not bad. Not bad. But the specifics of the Christmas story, I don't know if they'd be there. Now, that's one end of the churchy spectrum. At the other end are the folks who have heard the story so many times, we don't listen to it anymore. People who hear those first couple of words and then can rattle off all the key phrases. In those days, decree, Emperor Augustus, world enrolled, city, town, Bethlehem. Yep, engaged, no room in the inn. And it came to pass that, bands of cloth, laid in a manger. We know some of these phrases. Got it, Christmas, done. Some of us have heard these words so many times they can pass us by out of complacency. So whether the story is known very well or completely unknown, it's far too common and far too easy for us to miss some very important things, some very important parts. And as we discover joy today, I want you to listen to this original proclamation of joy as spoken by the angels in the Gospel of Luke. Nearby, shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them. The Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you. Wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great assembly of the heavenly forces was with that angel, and they were praising God, saying, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth peace among all whom God favors." Now this is not the classic translation. I actually chose the scripture right out of the Common English Bible, which is a very highly accurate translation, yet still rather approachable. It's a translation I believe allows those who don't know the story to listen to it easily, without the these and thous and some very crazy words that only show up in the Bible. But I also appreciate that it gets those of us who think we know this scripture listening again because it's different words. Wait a minute. I should actually listen. I don't know where this is going. See, because the list of phrases that some of us can just rattle off most likely includes the phrase, "I bring you good news of great joy." We might know that phrase, which in this wonderful translation is actually rendered, "I bring good news to you. wonderful, joyous news. Now, not really different in its meaning, but different enough to hopefully get you listening again. But it doesn't matter which translation you use. The words I want us to truly listen to today are the same in almost every single version. That's actually quite rare. The words that speak to discovering joy don't change in any of the direct translations. These very important and joyful words are these: all people. This is where we discover joy. All people. What Christmas is about, its meaning and its purpose, what Christmas is about is for all people. Hopeful people, fearful people, together people, broken people, unquestioning people, skeptical people, believing people, disinterested people. This is joyful. This Christmas is joyful because it is inclusive and welcoming and the kind of God that we can enjoy. I find great joy in a Christmas story that proclaims God's hope, peace, and love, and it proclaims that these are given and present in the lives of those who've never heard the Christmas story, that these things are present in the lives of those who quit listening to the Christmas story years ago, that they're present in those who are moved to tears every time they hear the Christmas story, that God's hope and peace and love are present with those who just aren't sure what to do with the Christmas story. You see, that to me is the kind of story I want to know more about. This is the kind of story I feel comfortable sharing. I hope we can take joy in sharing a story like this. It's a nice thing because you don't have to worry that you're ever going to share the story with someone it excludes. Oh, did you hear that? Oh, sorry, you weren't invited. I shouldn't have told you that. Those moments exist in life, but not with the Christmas story. We can share the story of God's hope and God's peace and God's love with anyone because it is extended to all people. You know, those angels could have shown up anywhere to anyone. It didn't just have to be the shepherds. If the angel choir had thrown a dart on a map and shown up to whoever happened to be there, the message would have been the same. It would have applied to any group of random people standing anywhere just as much as it applies to the shepherds. And that's also why it applies to us today. This is a joyful thing. And it's actually a very, for me, an essential starting point, because as joyful as it is to proclaim, it's actually quite difficult to live this idea of what God offers being for all people. We must start with the joy, because to honestly live our lives, acknowledging the sacred worth, value, and divine presence within every single person is not easy. So we need to hold on to and claim the joy of this proclamation and use it to encourage us, to drive us as we live through the hopes and fears of this world. Hopes that envision a world where all actually means all. And fears that sometimes wish all really just meant some, because sometimes that's just easier. You see, our God, Emmanuel, God with us, our God loves each and every person. That same God will show us in the life of the baby in that manger that we are to love all people as well. You see, Jesus, the gift of Christmas that is for all people, will grow up and spend his life and even his death and resurrection showing us that all people are worthy of hope and peace and love. All people. And whatever our experiences in life, whatever our identity, whatever our brokenness, whatever our hopes and our fears, we're not alone. We are not alone because God extends love to all people. And we're not surrounded by just a small group of people. We're not even surrounded by a large group of specific people. God promises that we are never alone because we are surrounded by all people. We can never find ourselves excluded. There is no chance of being excluded from God's love. That is a joyous truth. That is good news. You see, I don't believe Christmas could be full of joy, that Christmas could be joyful, if it was for anything other than all people. You see, if it was exclusive in any way, it wouldn't be Christmas. If we could be joyful that God brings some people hope and leaves the rest of the world despairing, we would honestly be hopeless. If we could be joyful feeling that we know peace while the rest of the world is in pieces, we would be at conflict with ourselves. If we could be joyful that God loves us and not everyone, we have no idea what love really is. Hope, peace, and love only exist if they are for all people. These gifts of Christmas and Christ Himself are a source of joy because they're for all people. I am joyful this day because the story and the reality of God's love is for all people. And that is good news of great joy that will meet us in this moment, on Christmas Day, and every day. Amen.